stay up here. You ain't got to run off. You can stay if you want to. Hallelujah. They're like, dang, Greg, we were up here trying to pray and you shut everything down. What'd you do that for? Everybody good today? All right, well, fantastic. Oh, I know. It's a whole lot better. We could probably go home, huh? No? Okay, all right. Well, it was an idea. I mean, I figured I'd have a few takers. And I was like, yeah, let's go, man. Yeah, see, Emily. Bye, Emily. See you later. So I would like to ask all of you in the building, everybody, at the sound of my voice, whom do you believe Deborah Ward is rooting for in the ball game today? Yes, I did. Who do you think she's rooting for? Yeah! She's KC all the way. Three-peat. Three-peat. I couldn't help it, sweetheart. You look so beautiful today. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And you're a beautiful lady. What happens is that her heart is so big and so full of the love of God, it starts to come through and ooze through her skin, and it shows up as beauty, and that's what you get. That's the love of God right there. Amen. Amen. Big heart there. Big heart. Yep. So, yeah, we got a ball game, and I plan to preach. Let's see, the ball game starts around 5 or 5:30, so I'm going to preach to about 4:30 or so, give y'all plenty of time to get home. Get set. For those of you, this is your first service. You didn't know we would go for 6 hours, so God bless you for showing up today. We're just going to keep rolling. We're just not going to stop. Yeah, I know. There you go, Michelle. I was waiting for somebody. Yeah, if you believe that, I got a bridge I want to sell you down there in Sibley. Man. I do too. Where do boats go when they're sick? The boat dock. Yeah. Did I do this one already? Okay. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Wow, Charles. Y'all give it up for Charles. If you don't know, everybody knows this. I like to tell a few good jokes before we get started. You know, it's the joy of the Lord is their strength, right? Man, yeah, good, yeah. You know, it's joy. You know, the Bible says that he who sits in the heavens laughs. You know what God's doing right now? He's laughing. Good point, Michelle. She's giving me fits today. Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, chili cook-off? Your chili, you should have got the... Man, girl, that chili was some kind of good. Man. Why do ducks have feathers? To cover their butt quacks. Yep. What do you call a shoe made out of a banana? A slipper. Who got it? Fisher. He got us there, Mikey. Fisher got us. You need to handle up on Fisher after service, okay? Can a kangaroo jump higher than the Empire State Building? Of course. Why is that? Buildings can't jump. Okay. Yeah, Charles, no sound effects today, huh? See, no, don't crank them up. Please don't. All right, let's get in the Word. Amen. Let's get in the Word. We got stuff to talk about today. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Everybody having a good day? Yes. Got smiles on our face now because we heard some grand jokes from Greg. Fantastic jokes from Greg. If you remember last week, we talked about a young man who was demon possessed, and his dad brought the young man to the disciples. Was this last week? Is that right? Yeah. To the disciples, and the disciples tried to cast out the demon, and it wasn't working. All right, just wasn't working. They had done it before, and everything's been fine. And you know, we've all kind of been there to where we've prayed to God. You know, especially right after you get saved. Man, right after you get saved, you can pray for stuff and it just seems like whammo, it just happens. You know, and then we can rededicate our lives or go through to a revival or something. Whammo, it just looks like it's going to happen. But then as time progresses, it just seems like it takes a little longer for stuff to happen. And the disciples were going through this same process that we are all used to. I said the disciples are going through the same process we are all used to. Lord, why isn't this working? It worked last time. Why ain't it working this time? Yeah, he's back here preaching at you. It worked last time. Why doesn't it work this time? Anybody ever been there? It's a good question to ask. And so they asked Jesus about it. And the father of the son's daddy, he said, you know, Jesus said, look, anything's possible to the person that believes. If you'll believe, anything is possible. Just all you got to do is believe. And the old man said to Jesus, said, look, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And he was just getting on the edge of what Jesus was trying to teach everybody around there. What the edge of what the disciples were battling with and struggling with. It wasn't they were battling and struggling with a demon. A demon will go in the name of Jesus. You ain't got to sit there and mess around with it. You say the name of Jesus, it's going to go and get. It wasn't that wasn't the problem. The problem was their unbelief. In the moment, if you read the story and you really pay attention, in that moment, the disciples were arguing a little bit and discussing a little bit with some of the scribes and Pharisees from the synagogue. And those scribes and Pharisees were all standing around. And then here comes this demon all showing out and doing the thing. And the disciples go to cast it out. You ever tried to pray for somebody or pray in a big group? And you got all these people looking at you? And you're kind of on the spot. That's kind of what was going on. And if you remember, we talked about Peter, how he had walked on the water and he kind of got distracted at stuff. And he started looking at the wind and the waves. Same thing. Same deal was happening to the disciples at this point. They were getting distracted from all of the scribes and Pharisees. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I prayed for people before in front of people. I just did it just a few minutes ago. And everybody looking at you. You know, and if people looking at you, you're like, you get a little insecure, is that the word? Yeah, I get a little insecure. I'm not really sure. And so anyway, Jesus said, look, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. And like I said last week, for years we had taught that had to do with the demon. But that demon's going to go in Jesus' name. What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about unbelief. We have to notice that there is unbelief in our lives. We have to notice that there are things that are distractions to us that are pulling us away from what God really wants for us to see in our lives and what he wants to experience in our lives. And we've got to take the time to cut them off. Mark chapter 4. Y'all with me? Mark chapter 4, verse 13. This is Jesus talking to the disciples in another spot. Now, Jesus had just taught some people about four types of ground. One of them was wayside. One of them was stony, one of them was thorny, and one of them was good, okay? And he just got through doing that, and the disciples, as normal and as usual, didn't quite understand what was going on. And they did what most of us don't do enough of, is they asked a question. Don't be ashamed to ask a question. God is not afraid of questions, okay? Anyway, verse 13, Mark chapter 4, verse 13, let's get into this. And he said unto them, he's talking to the disciples, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? For what, number 14, the sower sows the what? The word. And these are those ones that are sowed on the wayside where the word is sown. No, I said that all wrong. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away that word that was sown in their hearts. Now, we've all experienced that, I think, at least one time or another. You know, you're probably going to get up and walk out of here, and somebody might bump into you and going through them little doors back there and not say, excuse me. You feel me? Just that little, they didn't say, excuse me. I wonder why not. You see how the devil come in and say, well, you know, it's that church. You know, they're crazy at that church. It's almost a cult down there. That's some weird people. There's some weird people in there. Wasn't talking about y'all. I was talking about me. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. Case in point. When Satan comes immediately, it takes the word that's sown in their hearts. Immediately, you get attacked as soon as you walk out those doors. See, right here and here, we got angels standing around. We've been worshiping God. We got the presence of the Lord in the room. We're all aware of His presence. It's not like He moves into the room. We just become more aware of the spirit world that's around us, and we become aware of the angels that are actually with us. We become aware of the presence of God, which He said He would never leave us nor forsake us. We become aware of these things, and it's real easy for us not to get offended right now. I could probably say anything I wanted to say from this pulpit, and y'all all laugh and chuckle. He's so funny. But if I said it out there in the street, He wouldn't feel the same way. Because here we're aware of the Spirit of God. And as soon as we start to step out and start to move into life, this happens. And so this is the wayside, but we're not going to talk about the wayside. Where was I? 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. They get pumped up about it. You know, when you hear the word and God actually tells you something, it's okay to smile and go, hey, I get that. It really does you a little bit of good to say, you know what, that's pretty cool. Thank you, Lord. And they have no root, verse 17, in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Now afterward, whenever tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, again, it's coming after word, not after you, immediately they stumble. So this is the other kind of ground. All excited, come in here, woo, yeah, I love Jesus. We'll get going, get a little church on, feeling good, feeling right, almost like it's Saturday night. But then you do the same thing, you get over in the Walmart, and you go to swipe your debit card and it don't work. Well, daggummit. And you don't say daggummit. Say something else. Y'all see what I'm talking about? Because the tribulation happens. And it causes you to stumble. But we're not going to talk about that ground. The ground we're going to talk to in verse 18. Now these are the ones that are sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things enter in and do what? Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Charles, if you would, let's take them to the land of movie entertainment.
Just received word that the Emperor has dissolved the Council permanently. The last remnants of the old Republic have been swept away.
Possible. How will the Emperor maintain control of the bureaucracy?
The regional governors now have direct control over the territories. Fear will keep the local systems in line. Fear of this battle station.
And what of the rebellion? If the rebels have obtained a complete technical readout of the station, it is possible. find a weakness and exploit it.
The plans you refer to will soon be back in our hands.
Any attack made by the rebels against this station would be a useless gesture, no matter what technical data they've obtained. This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use this.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes, or given you clairvoyance enough to find the rebels' hidden fort.
Yeah, it's called a choke.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Vader, release.
All right, that's good. Did y'all see that? It's called a force choke. A guy's name is Conan Mataye or something. No, the guy that he choked, that Darth Vader choked. Yeah. Never heard from him again, that's right. He got put in his place. Anyhow, it's like, Greg, why'd you show us that? We understand what choking is. I don't know that we do. I don't think we fully understand choking. Because it says right here that, what did it say? Let me get back in here. Verse 18. Where's it at? No, 19. And the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I don't think we understand what choke means. That's why I wanted to put that up there. That guy's name was Conan. I can't remember his last name. Conan had no problem talking. Did he? The admiral, you know, the failed religion and your sorcerer ways and all this. He had no problem talking. He had no problem breathing. He was doing a fine job of it until the choke began. Yeah, y'all following me here? He had no problem breathing. He had no problem talking. There wasn't necessarily an issue with what he was doing there. The problem was whenever the choke began, all of that ceased and became, as the Bible calls it, unfruitful. And then immediately, whenever Darth Vader took his hands off of him, you know, Moff Tarkin, he said, Vader, release him. As you wish. And whenever he did this, he could start breathing again. Remember, did you see it? Did y'all saw the movie? It's a good movie. Came out in 1977. Still rings and reigns today. It's something else. Anyway. He immediately started to breathe again. And was more than likely able to talk again. Because he was able to breathe. And so what I'm bringing out, and I hope what y'all are getting, is that whenever we start talking about the ground that's a thorny ground and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things start to creep in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful, once we remove that stuff, get it out the way, everything's okay. Sometimes I think we forget the forgiving power of God. I don't think we pay attention to that like we're supposed to. I believe we let sometimes the deceitfulness of riches and the lust from other things to come in. I think we all deal with each kind of this ground that Jesus talks about. I don't think just some of us are this and some of us are that. I think we all deal with every type of ground. Sometime during our life, we have to battle these things. And Jesus is showing us and bringing light to all the situations that we could find ourselves in life that will stunt the growth of God's word in us. And I think that in this one, whenever we see the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things, and we mess up, and we go to get that stuff off of us, we feel like there's maybe something wrong with us, and God can't use us anymore. And God doesn't want to because of how bad I've been. Am I talking to the right people today? See, not only does the enemy come in with these things of the deceitfulness of riches and get us thinking about our money, and not only does he come in and get us to lust after other things that are not God, not only does he do that to try to take that word, as soon as we start trimming that stuff off, because I told y'all last week, they only come out, this kind only comes out how? By prayer and fasting. If you spend time with God and you start to fast, you cut stuff off of your life, be it food, be it Netflix, Facebook, social media, whatever, pick it, video games, whatever it is, football, you know, whatever the thing is that you're going to cut off and fast out of your life, as soon as we start doing those things, our seed, the seed of God's word, will begin to grow in us like it's supposed to. It'll begin to do the enemy comes immediately and starts going after that word again as if it's wayside. It tells you you're not good enough because that stuff. He goes to try to just and take that word off of you and make you feel like you were not good enough. I'm here to tell you right now, there is none of us that have ever been good enough for him. That's the reason why he sent Jesus. He came to make the way for us. We can't forget that. On a daily basis, I will mess up as soon as I walk out these doors. I'm going to mess up. There's going to be a stony ground. I'm gonna be choked by that. Something is gonna go wrong. Something's going to happen at some point. Something's not gonna be right. And I'm not here to preach doom and gloom. Y'all on Facebook, I ain't saying doom and gloom, but stuff gonna happen. If you live in this world, stuff is gonna happen. It's gonna come at you. You're gonna feel like stuff is creeping in and it's choking you. As soon as you get it fixed though, don't let the enemy be used by God. His word is powerful and will grow. It will always produce. His word's not going to, he said, so shall my word be that I said, it will prosper in the thing which I sent in Isaiah 55, I think 11. It will prosper in the thing that I sent. It's going to do, it won't return to me void. God said, I sent my word. It's not going to come back void. It's going to do everything that I said it was going to do. It's going to prosper in the thing that I said it was going to do. My word is not going to fail. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will pass away. That word is going to produce in you if you get all the junk out the way. It's going to work. And don't let the enemy make you think that you're mean. He's messing with us too much. We've been spending too much time playing around with him. The church has been, they say the church has been a sleeping giant for years. Well, I'm tired of the sleeping giant. I want to and wake it up. We got folks out here going to hell every day. The last thing, one of the last things the master said to us was he go out there. He said, go out there, make disciples of all that. Tell them what's going on here. Let them know that I came and that I made a way so they don't have to. All they need to do is believe in me. You go tell them, make disciples out of them, and then do it again. That's what he said to do. And we sit back, and we let the enemy wear us out. Charles, you don't have this one. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. We let him wear us out and make us think we ain't good enough. All right, I'm gonna say something, and I don't mean it to mean anybody here at all, okay? Everybody good with me? All right, I ain't talking about nobody in this building. But whenever I go visit a church that I ain't ever been to, you know where I sit at? On the front row. You want to know why? I ain't done nothing wrong. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I ain't got no reason to sit out in the back. I ain't got no reason to act like I can't come to the front. I'm going to walk right up to the front just like I'm a child of God that's supposed to be there. And that's why I do it. Why? I mean, I'll just walk right up to the front row, the frontest row I can get to. I've ever been to a funeral, you know how they got that little reserve up there in the front? I don't even care. I sit where the pallbearer is supposed to sit. I'm like, not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that gospel is the power of God unto salvation that everybody believes. If all they got to do is believe, if I can just get them to believe, and I ain't got to worry about what I did yesterday, I ain't got to worry about what I did 5 minutes ago, all I got to do is share the gospel. If I share the gospel, he goes to work. He is what he does. All we are is wires. We're wires. We connect things to the power source. That's all we do. A wire does not make electricity. It carries it. You don't save nobody. Ain't none of y'all ever saved anybody ever. Can't. You can't do it. He has, though. He has made a way from everybody that ever will breathe air on this earth. He has made a way. He has. All we got to do is introduce people to a book. But what happens? What happens? This right here. Cares of other things come in. Look out. Where'd you go? Now you got to back up. Let's try 12, maybe. I don't know, somewhere up in there, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, we're getting close. Y'all reading that? Have y'all read it? You good? Next one. What are you going to do? Back up. No. Finally, my brethren, do what? Be strong in yourself. You go ahead and you figure out how to do this on your own. What are we supposed to be strong in? How do you get strong in the Lord? Anybody know? Huh? Faith in what? The part that doesn't pass away, but this ain't going nowhere. I don't care what you say about it. They've tried to burn it for years. Away. These are the words of the Almighty. It will not stop. Woo! Golly, I'm preaching hard now. Power of his might right there. Put on. You got to put on something. You got to get up off your and put on something. Dress, brush your teeth. Get to moving. Come on, church. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rules of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, what you gonna do? Take it up. Get up, but you take it up. Not only get moving, but take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand within the evil day. And having done all to stand, what are you supposed to do? Stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking what? Shield of faith. Whoo! Took me forever to get there. That's where I was wanting to land. Be okay. If I fall out right here, y'all just let me be there. Just lay hands on me. If I go, I'm gone. You know, if you think about it, worst day of your life, you get to see Jesus. Ain't a bad deal. Above all, taking what? The shield of faith with which you were able to quench what? The fiery darts of who? Satan. You know what them fiery darts are? You ain't good enough. You can't do this. It ain't working. Oh, did I lose y'all? Y'all don't put up with that, do you? I guess I'm the only one who puts up with that. That I ain't good enough. That stuff ain't working. That God ain't moving. Things ain't changing. Is that just me? Fiery darts of the wicked one. All he's gonna do all day long and all he has ever done is suggest things to you. That's it. Bite the apple, Big Daddy. He's going to suggest things to you. He is going to bring alternate visions to you that he wants you to put your faith on. Or apply your fear to. Is a better way to say it. All he wants to do is get you off the path. All he wants to do is hit you with that, I ain't good enough, I ain't good enough. But we're supposed to do what? Taking up, how do we stop all this stuff? How do we stop it? How do we take it? With the what? With the what? With the shield of faith that you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. What is the shield of faith? The best way it's ever been put to me, Doug Jones from Rhema Bible Training Center came to our church in Minden, said this. This is the best thing I've ever heard. He said that the shield of faith is just like a filtration system on an air conditioner. Wow. You know the filter? You know what it does? It lets the air through, but it stops what? The contaminants. It stops the contaminants from getting in the air, and it filters out what's supposed to be there and what's not supposed to be there. And so our shield of faith, our way that we believe, our system of belief that's built upon the truth of God's word is taking these fiery darts that are coming. You can have a thought. You gonna have a thought. You probably just had one. But it's all in what we do with it. You gonna do something with it or you gonna throw it away? You gonna keep it or you gonna get out of it? Hold on here. We gonna go look at something right here. 2 Corinthians. Oh man. Chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. And then we gonna quit. And we gonna go eat some football food. I'll just tell you, doing what I do now, never seen it as clear as I see it now. What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem? What's the problem? Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Because we ain't. That's the best thing I could put to it. There's always some sort of, don't get me wrong, I love from the pulpit, Angel and I love meeting with people. We love what we do. However, I will tell you that 99.9% of your problems are looking at you in the mirror when you brush your teeth in the morning. Like me. My problem ain't none of, nobody in here. My problem's right here. I allow the enemy to slip in with some sort of something that ain't supposed to be in there. I allow him to slip in with the idea of biting the apple. I let him slip in with a little something and I let him get to me and start to choke the word. There ain't nothing wrong with the word. It will work and it will go right back. I let him come in and squeeze me up. And now what do I got to do? I got to get all this off of me. I got to get the vines off of me. I got to get all this that's choking the word of God off of me so that the word of God will go to work. And then I got to make sure my mind's right to know how much I trust and believe in the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that Jesus made. It's a deal. It's a deal. This is what, hey, can you back up to verse 4? You do that for me, Charles? Charles is great. He is the great grand poobah of CCAM, for those of you that don't know. Great grand poobah. That was the best title I could come up with for him. I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to call you, but great grand poobah sounds real good. For the weapons of our warfare are what? They're not carnal. It ain't the folks in line at Walmart. It ain't them. It ain't your family. I'm going to say it again. It ain't your family. It ain't them. Not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Well, then what is it, Greg, if it's not carnal? It is a spirit that's on the backside of whatever's going on that you're looking at. It ain't your family. There's something spiritual going on that needs to be dealt with. And we're too busy getting caught up with other things that the enemy's distracted us with that we don't handle it. So now who's the problem? For the pulling down of strongholds, verse 5. How do we do that? We cast down arguments, imaginations, thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every what? Thought into what? Captivity and what? obedience of Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, right here. Christ, right here. Faith shield, right here. Every thought has to be go through this here. And it tries to exalt itself above this, and then we ain't gonna let it. And it's look, that's what I love about this. Casting down arguments. Hey, can you back up one more, Charles? Go back to verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Who is the our? O-U-R. Who is that? The weapon of our warfare. Who's the our? Us. Okay, cool. Y'all track it with me? It's talking about who? Us. That includes who? Me. All right, cool. Verse 5, casting down arguments. Still talking about us, which includes me. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Who does that? Who casts down the arguments or the imaginations or the thoughts? Who? Who? Yeah, we the us's. The us's get to do that. The us's includes me, right? Us's includes you. You, I, we, us, myself are supposed to cast these things down. And we, you, I, myself are supposed to bring every thought into captivity and the obedience of Christ. If you don't, those vines will come up again and start to choke that word. And that's all the enemy's looking to do. He wants everything to stop. If there ain't no growth, ain't nothing going to happen. 2025 is the year of growth for CCAM. Stuff gonna happen around here. You wanna know why? We're gonna get the enemy out the way and we're gonna start walking. We're gonna start moving. We're gonna start doing the things that God called us to do. And the first and foremost thing is for us to go out there and be an example. To go out there and tell people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're gonna do. And I dare every demon in hell to come try to stop us. It ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. We didn't write our visions down a few weeks ago just so we can write them down. No. These are things that we want to see come to pass in our lives, that God wants to see come to pass in our life. Things that He wants to have happen in our lives. You know what it becomes? It becomes billboard on how good He is. Next thing you know, the Lord is my shepherd. I do not lack for any good thing. Next thing you know, people are asking you, how is it that you did such and such? How is it that you got here? What is it about you? There's just something different about you. You always seem to be so happy. Yeah, you get that a lot. I'm sure you do. You always seem to be so peaceful. Stuff doesn't bother you, does it? And now's our opportunity. Because at the end of the day, everything we do, every breath we take, every move we make, that's a song, ain't it? Every breath we take and every move we make is for His glory. That's it. You didn't bring nothing to this world and you ain't taking nothing with you but people. You could take other people with you and that's it. And the only way to take them with you is to point Him out. We live, breathe, and have all of our being in Him. Amen? Let's all stand. We're going to go home. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to preach it so hard I forgot. I know, Angel brought me a note. Stephen, can you come up here and kind of strum a little something-something? A little something-something. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I got notes all in my Bible about stuff. This is what you do whenever somebody dies and you don't know what to do on a funeral. Here's this funeral service right here. It's in my Bible if you ever need it. Just pull it out, do a funeral service. And he's like, hey, all right, let's go. Romans chapter 10. Verse 10. No, verse 9. No, verse 8. It's all good. You can just keep backing up all the way to in the beginning, you know. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee in your mouth and even in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is what we're trying to get to. That's the experience we're taking people to. Amen? Verse 11 says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There won't be shame in your life or in the lives of others. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all, and is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. We've got precious friends here today. Precious friends that I love dearly. Whom we're going to pray for. Michael and Angela, y'all come on up. We're going to pray for the whole families. The whole family's going with you, aren't they? Yeah. All of you. Mikey, come on, Mikey. Love this family. Love these people. So it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. I'm crying, but it's not a bad thing. It's really good. Michael and Angela have accepted, was it grudgingly or were you happy about it? I'm playing. Yeah, they answered the call. He's going to be such a good pastor. Answered the call to go to Saline. Y'all know we have a church in Saline, Mill Creek Church down in Saline. And they're going to go down there and take over that work, which we're super excited about it. I was hoping Paul could, I guess Paul went down there today. Yeah, I think Paul went down there today. Bradley and his wife have moved on. Not moved on, that doesn't sound right. They're going into full-time mission work and teen challenge, which is really where their heart is. They've done a fantastic job down there at Mill Creek. We send them off with blessings, and that's probably what Paul's doing today is handling that. And so what we'll do from here at CCAM is we're going to send this precious family to go down there. And like it said, if you're not sent, the people won't be reached. So we're going to send you out with love. We're going to send you out with faith. We're going to send you out with blessing. And we know that the goodness of God is what causes men and women to repent. And I know y'all's heart. Y'all are going to show the goodness of God, the love of God. We cherish you. Everything y'all wouldn't understand the number of things that they've done at this church. I mean, their hands have touched almost every area. Just so faithful. And a faithful man and a faithful woman will abound in blessing. You're going to be blessed down there. It's going to be increase far beyond anything you could ask or ever think. You're going to get word from God like you've never had before. Your eyes of your understanding are going to be flooded with light. You receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Just light, light, light. More in the word than you've ever seen before. The way that you leave a place is the way that you'll enter a place. Y'all are leaving right. They've done everything right. I can't tell you how correct they have been in this process. You've done everything right. Very respectful. And we know you're going to do great things. Really great things. Yes, yes. Angel's right. Maybe I should have let you talk. Yeah, yeah. Like Angel said, come on, babe. Ginger. Yeah, like Angel said, they're not leaving. They're still part of our family, but they will not be here on Sunday mornings on a regular basis because they're going to be preaching and taking care of babies. They're going to be wiping babies' bottoms and because you're going to handle a nursery, aren't you? Yep. Amen. Amen. What you doing, Pastor? Ginger's got a great story about what you doing, Pastor. You know, more than likely, Pastor's cleaning the toilets, you know, because Miss Leanne wasn't able to make it, so let's go clean some toilets, you know, or whatever it is that we're having to do. Just a blessing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's not over, but this church thanks you. And you don't hear that enough. Thank you so much for your sacrifice and what you've done here. Y'all got anything to say? No. Okay, cool.